punch my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs.
TalkZone.com!
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Good afternoon, Illini Nation. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Mr. G, what a day this is. This is one of my favorite days in sports, the national championship game for Division I men's basketball and opening day in baseball, most, you know, weather permitting. Obviously, unfortunately, the Sox got canceled, but, you know, everyone says Super Bowl and this and that, but this is a great day for me. I can remember 4 years ago, we were in St. Louis having a great time. Hanging out at sports bars. The Cubs were on the tube in the afternoon from Phoenix, whomping on the Diamondbacks, although Zambrano couldn't get through the full fifth inning to get a win. But nevertheless, we're going to have a great show today. Of course, we're going to talk a lot about the NCAA basketball game. I think we're both in the same corner, rooting for Michigan State. Very happy and proud that they're there. For themselves and for the Big Ten. I'm not so sure about all the other stuff they're talking about. Yeah, it's great. People will be happy for a day or so in Detroit, but then reality will set back in a few days from now. But we also have a great lineup of guests today. Our friend from the Daily Herald, Lindsay Wilhite, will be joining us in about 20 minutes. Tyler Griffey's dad at 12:30 will fill us in on a couple All-Star games that was going on over the weekend, and I'm going to put in my plug to get him to get Tyler tough enough to be a board crasher and a rebounder, because that's where we're going to need him the most next year. Special guest, hopefully, will be calling in at 12:40. Mystery guest, everyone's going to have to listen for that. They'll be very happy. 1:10. Cliff Paul, Brandon's dad. Brandon was named Player of the Year. There's a couple different Player of the Years going on. The two Chicago newspapers, the News Gazette, Gatorade. But Brandon, I believe it was the Chicago Sun-Times Player of the Year. And at 1:20, our buddy from Decatur Herald and Review, Mark Tupper. We'll talk a lot of basketball. There's some football to talk about. Vontae Davis in the news. Spring ball is underway this upcoming Saturday, 1 o'clock at Oak Park River Forest High School in Oak Park, Chicago.
I'm going to let you do the entire show by yourself. I'm just going to
scrimmage. Good. Well, you're typing away. I don't know who, you're probably trying to get a hold of Obama and ask him what's going on with North Korea and stuff, which is very important. I'd like to know also. I'm a little worried about that. And so we got the football scrimmage coming up this week at Oak Park River Forest. Lots and lots of things to discuss. So hopefully our fans will want to participate. Give us a call, 888-463-6748. Email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We've got a winner, regardless of what happens in tonight's game. We have a winner in our contest. dinner for two and a $50 extra for a drink at Wildfire Restaurants in Chicago. And before I turn it over to you, because you don't even seem ready yet, you know, occasionally we get some emails late in the show that we don't get to get on, so we got to read them the following week. And we always love to get these types of emails. This is one is from a relatively new listener. Hello, Boz and Mr. G. Some good friends were here this winter from Urbana, and they turned me on to your talk radio show. I'm now listening at work. Love the show. I've lived in Florida since 1989, and I miss my Illini. Thank goodness for the Big Ten Network. My son and I had season tickets to the football and basketball games from 85 to 89. I'd move back in a heartbeat, but I can't take the winters. Goes on a little more, but it says, keep up the great work. Love the show. Go Illini. Jeff Hatley from Oviedo, Florida.
Don't hate me. I'm Hatley.
O-V-I-E-D-O. I've never heard of that city in Florida. Don't know if it's the North End, South End, Central, whatever. But Jeff, great to have you on board. Thanks for listening. I'm sure you'll spread the word to all of your Illini friends and family as well. And Michigan State, way to go, Sparty, huh? Terrific game. You know, Digger Phelps has no clue what they're talking about, what he's talking about. I can't believe nobody corrected him as the week went on. Just made a jackass of himself, don't you think?
Well, I think that Digger Phelps is a jackass, and I tell you that I really want to just take that
slap
highlighter
him.
Of his and just draw on his face.
Right, like
maybe
bunny,
draw a mustache.
Yeah, or bunny whiskers or whatever. Take the pink and make him look like the Easter Bunny.
You know, but I really think that Digger is so off base as he analyzes these games. You know, the thing that he often talks about is that Michigan State cannot run, and that's patently untrue. Michigan State is an up-tempo team. Teams game plan for them. We have good coaches in the Big Ten. They understand how to game plan defensively, and they try to limit Michigan State. But Michigan State can run with any team in the country. And Digger Phelps doesn't understand the game well enough to understand that, apparently, when he watches college basketball.
You know, as I was watching the games over the weekend and thinking about this subject, two words came to mind that is the heart and soul of game planning a basketball game, no matter who you have and who the opponent is. And those two words to me are transition defense. Any offense would want to move the ball down quickly to try to beat the defense and get a relatively easy shot, whether it be a layup, short, jump shot, etc. It's even more important if the opposing defense is a tremendous half-court defense or has a guy like Tabeet in the middle that makes it difficult for you. So Michigan State moved the ball, wasn't a surprise to any of us here in the Midwest and in the Big Ten, but Connecticut failed on their transition defense. They couldn't get back fast enough, and the Spartans got a lot of relatively easy baskets pushing the ball, and if it's not there, they're smart enough, they're disciplined enough under a coach like Izzo to then pull it back and run your offense and not force stuff. So
the apologists for the Big East, you know, then they come back and they say, well, it's about matchups. Well, yeah, it is about matchups. And when you look at the Big East and their average seed of a 3 or the Big 12 and their average seed of a 5 and the ACC and their average seed of a 5 or the Big 10 and an average seed of 7.56, and then you look at the records against these conferences this year. We're 9-8. Against the ACC. We're 6-7 against the Big East. We're 8-4 against the great Big 12. We are 3-1 against the Pac-10 and 3-1 against the SEC. The Big 10 has more than held its own on neutral courts, on away games. The Big 10 has done just fine against the rest of the world. And you know what? If we don't pass the smell test, basketball is not a smell test game. Basketball is a W and L game. And on the W and L level, we've done just fine.
Absolutely. And Michigan State, again, they've had the toughest route also. I mean, they beat Kansas, last year's defending champ, and what was Kansas, a 2 or 3 seed? They beat Louisville and Connecticut, were 1 seeds, and they could end up beating 3 of the 4 1 seeds.
Do you realize that our 2 worst seeds in the tournament have more cumulative digits than the entire Big East seeds had together.
I'm not quite sure I know what you mean by cumulative digits.
Well, I'll explain it to you. If you take the fact that there are seven Big East teams and they're an average seed of a three seed, their cumulative seed is 21. You had a 12 and an 11 seed in the Big Ten in, who was it, Wisconsin and Minnesota, I think? But they were greater than the combined numbers of all seven of the Big East teams. And it's a tribute to the competitiveness of the conference, to the fact that we do have a winning record in this tournament, that we do have a team in the final game, that consistently the Big Ten, I believe, is either tied or one ahead of the ACC in terms of the number of teams in the Final Four in the last decade. And this will be the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th time a Big Ten team has been in the national championship game.
Kudos to
in the last 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's no surprise, again, a lot of people are, you know, saying who the heck picked Michigan State to get this far and this and that. But, you know, of course, we knew better because we see it a little more often. Maybe those guys on the East and West Coast should pay attention next year and, you know, watch a little more Big Ten Midwest basketball.
I have a tribute for all of our Big Ten brethren and all of our friends from the land of Sparta. I'd now like to offer this tribute to Tom Izzo and the Spartans of Michigan State.
In a place far away, in a time long ago, there was a city-state called Sparta, and its glory echoes through the ages. The Spartans were a fierce warrior breed, known for their ferocity and courage. Sparta is long gone, but its spirit can be found in a second incarnation, in a city called East Lansing, in a land they call Michigan, where they are led by a diminutive but tenacious hero called Izzo. The Spartans, without adequate resources and facing threats from all quarters, have channeled the spirit of the ancients as it faces mighty foes bent on their destruction. They have met and slain the beasts from the east, first in a place called Indiana, and now, with their backs to the wall and nothing but their bodies and shields standing between them and their enemies. This is where they fight. This is where they stand. The monstrous horde from the Atlantic coastal plain, led by their modern Xerxes, named Roy of Chapel Hill, are bent on the Spartans' destruction as they seek to claim all the land for their empire. They will assault the Spartans in a hamlet called Detroit, on a field called Ford. It is there that the Spartans will take their stand, with nowhere to run and no place to hide. It is there, on this day, on that field, that the great Izzo will proclaim, "This is where we fight. This is where Sparta claims its everlasting glory." In 1,000 years, sons will tell their sons, who will tell their sons, of the glory of Sparta and the spirit of the warrior state. All stories end, but Sparta, Sparta lives. Long live Sparta!
Go green!
Go white! You know, Mr. G, if I didn't know better, I would have thought that that was Winston Churchill doing that speaking there.
Either that or John Houseman. Actually, I tried to get the voice from the star of 300. That's who I was trying to channel when I did that tribute.
Oh, that was you?
To the great Izzo!
Oh, yeah, it sounds like the Wizard of Oz. But speaking of the great Izzo, also, I would like to send kudos and shout-outs to Coach Izzo also for being upfront and frank and sticking up for the conference and his fellow coaches and, again, the style of play and actually giving, you know, the teams and the coaches credit for preparing them for this tournament and to get this far. And, I think it was just very, very cool to me to kind of see the unity there and him sticking up against the media pundits that were throughout the year and throughout the tournament toss, speaking down on the Big Ten.
I'm feeling a little man crush coming on for you, Buzz. I mean, is
well, I think. You gotta like him as a coach too. I mean, I've seen all these interviews the last few days and stuff. I like the emotion. You know, I like the on the court coaching. I like the cleanliness. He doesn't get the marker on his face after he draws up the play and stuff and all that. But in all seriousness, you know, a week or so ago it was funny when people were talking about the style of play and the slowdown and the bump and grind or whatever. In fact, Clark Kellogg, and I wanted to ask you what you thought of Kellogg. I happen to think it's tremendous. You know, if I don't hear another word of Billy Packer the rest of my life, it'll be fine. But one of the first things Kellogg said at the beginning of the game was that it's a misnomer that State likes to bump and grind. So kudos to Kellogg for coming out with that. But my point is, when that was talked about a couple weeks ago, Izzo said, you know, that's far from the truth. We're a multiple dimension team. We run when we have to and want to and when we can. And when it's not there, we pull it back and run our offense. We play tight D. We rebound. We do everything you need to do. We're just not one dimensional. So for those reasons, I like him, and I would like to see our ball club in the next few years with the talent coming in. And we saw DJ Richardson on TV this weekend. There was a couple All-Star games, one Friday night in Chicago. I saw Bertrand for the first time in person. Brandon Paul played in that game. Then they drove all night to St. Louis and played in a game with Tyler Griffey. With this talent coming in, I want to see us get a little more multi-dimensional also. So that's one reason why I like Izzo and what he's doing.
We'll have three guys next year who can take you off the bounce. And Brandon Paul, Richardson, and McCamey. And McCamey Boz, I let you talk for 40 minutes. Give me a break.
No, don't count out Legion.
Boz.
This is you. Boz and Mr. G.
Okay, yeah, I know. Well, so far it's more Boz. But
next week you'll be able to talk all you want.
I understand.
Going to the Cubs home opener.
I understand. But
what
I want to say is that we've got three guys who can take you off the bounce, and that McCamey will have less expected out of him from an athletic standpoint than he did this year, which is a good thing because he's not that athletic. But we need guys like Richardson and Paul to come in and really create off the dribble. That was the thing that really bugged me about this team. We didn't have it this year. I think we'll do a better job of it next year. I hope that Weber isn't so focused on wins and losses early in the year that he doesn't eschew wins and losses in the hopes of developing a
God
team.
God bless you.
In hopes of developing a team that later on in the year will be tournament ready. And that's the one thing that I would say about a guy like Izzo. Izzo doesn't care about that kind of thing early in the year. He wants to develop his team. He's secure enough. He's confident enough. He knows he's going to make the tournament. And he wants to create and develop his players in a way that they'll be the best team possible by the end of the year.
And Izzo, you know, he has the toughest schedule every year, year in, year out. And I thought was very cool, an interview I saw yesterday. He talked about scheduling teams like Duke and Carolina and Kentucky and UCLA going to their place, not only for the competition, but just for the experience as a fan and get the emotion of walking into a Rupp Arena. Or I'll never forget when the first time I walked into Pauley Pavilion in Westwood. It was in the summer. There were kids playing pickup games. But as a fan, you walk in and you see all those banners and you think of all the games you saw on TV with Lou Alcindor and Sidney Rowe or Curtis Rowe and Sidney Wicks and Mike Warren and all those guys going way, way back. As if you're a fan, it gives you chills and it's a great experience. And you're absolutely right. Great point. Next year, in starting this summer, we need to have the young guys work on. I want to see when they play pickup this summer, I want to see Bertrand on one team and DJ on another team playing the point guards, being the primary ball handlers, and then the best defensive guys guarding them, because we still need to work on that and have those skills develop. But when the season starts in the preseason, I agree 100%. Those guys need to see plenty of time so that we'll be ready when the Big Ten season rolls around.
All right, email us your questions for Lindsey Wilhite, for Jarence Howard, Talking Illini at
Jarence Howard's coming on?
Maybe. Talking Illini at yahoo.com or call us at 888-463-6748. We've got a show that's chock full of information, chock full of both Illini information and college basketball at large.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Chicago Athletic Club is the number one athletic club chain in Chicagoland, according to the Chicago Tribune. For membership info, visit their Lincoln Park, Lakeview, Evanston, or West Loop locations, or call Pat Cunningham at 773-529-2024. Tell him Boz and Mr. G sent you, and receive 1 month absolutely free. That's 773-529-2024. Chicago Athletic Clubs, another great Illini sports experience.
You buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
Prepare to broadcast worldwide.
You've discovered TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com.
And now, let's get back in the game for more Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Boz and Mr. G.
Yes, sir, we are back in the game, Illini Nation, talking NCAA final championship game tonight. We're going to bring in our good friend from the Daily Herald, Lindsey Wilhite. Lindsey, how are you?
Great. TalkZone.com.
There you go. No soccer practice for Lindsey today, huh?
No soccer. Too much snow.
You know, that's, you know, you could still play in the snow. It's just a little cold and wet. That's all. You get bring a little extra hot chocolate for the kids, you know, whatever.
Well, what's weird is that the 6 and 7 year old girls, they're tough enough, but the
coach.
Coach, he's not tough enough to go out and
Absolutely. I'm assuming you were listening to the first 20 minutes and you heard Mr. G and I just go on and on for the Spartan love. You know, tell us what's going to happen tonight for them to win, or is North Carolina just too good?
Lindsey, by the way, did you hear our Spartan tribute?
I did not. I heard a lot of expletives deleted. There was a lot of bleeps on my intranet.
We'll have to play it for you later so you hear it.
Did Jackass get deleted?
I don't know what happened.
Well, that was when we were talking about Digger Phelps. But go ahead.
I'll reinforce that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. So, Carolina, they got great talent. Are they going to win, or is State going to pull this out? The home crowd and all that kind of thing.
Boy, I've been super impressed by Michigan State, and I remember thinking, When Michigan State came to Illinois there right at the end of the season, I was thinking, man, this team's playing like a Final Four team. But then I went ahead and picked them to lose in the second round of the tournament anyway. I just think Carolina just has that little bit more. You forget about a guy like Wayne Ellington, and he's I don't know where he ranks in terms of talent on the team, but he just comes in and just buries five threes, and it just seems like they just have a little bit more than State does.
And so, depth-wise, I think State has an advantage there, and that could be something that gets him over the hump.
You know, that could work. I mean, did we expect Corey Lucius had, 11 in the first half?
11,
in the first half, and Draymond Green is playing his butt off. And
how can you have a depth advantage, though, when you have 8 McDonald's All-Americans on North Carolina and 0 on Michigan State?
Well, I'm just talking about numbers and the way Izzo uses them, and I'm just...
I mean, Carolina goes 8-9 deep. They're a very deep team. And the fact that they've had injuries this year has allowed Williams to develop his bench a little better as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to break it down, it's really refined. I mean, look at the point guard. Kalen Lucas has been probably the better point guard in every game in the tournament, but now he's going against Ty Lawson. I mean, who's the better point guard there?
Right. I have a note written here. I wanted to ask you about that. That's going to be a heck of a matchup if indeed they're matched up, because, you know, Walton usually guards the better guy, but if they do that, then State's going, going to have a height disadvantage
positions. But is Lucas big enough to guard Ellington? I don't think so.
Yeah,
right.
But Walton's kind of like a Chester Frazier, where he can guard it. He can go get a 6'5" or 6'6" guy and try to slow him down. But yeah, I don't know if you can waste. Yeah, I don't. I think you got to put Lucas on Lawson at least for a little while, and then you bring in Lucius a little bit, and then I don't know. Maybe you have Chris. I don't know. Chris Allen's not a great defender. Maybe Darrell Summers chases him around just for a little bit. I mean, who knows? Way back in 2001, who knew that Richard Jefferson was going to be put on Frank Williams and slow him down? So,
although I will say that Ellington is more of a perimeter player, and maybe Lucas can guard a guy like Ellington.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I could see that.
So you're picking Carolina.
I'm going to take Carolina. I forget what I read the line was. Maybe 6.5 or 7.5. I think that might be a little strong, but I think Carolina.
7.5 is a big number. I don't know what the over-under is, but I thought 7.5 was too big a number to give, even for Carolina, as strong as they've been. I think if you're a wagering type of fellow, you put your dollar on the Spartans.
Yeah. Hey, have you read these comparisons of Brandon Paul to Dwayne Wade?
Well,
he said it here on our show first.
Right. Brand, and then over the weekend, watching those games, you know, the high school thing that DJ's team was in, they said the same thing about DJ.
Huh.
Very interesting. Did you get a chance to watch those games or see?
I did not get a chance to watch Findlay. No, I guess he's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, you know, the one thing, you know, Mr. G and I were talking before the show, and he was terrific, but he didn't really handle the ball much. They had two other guys that were the primary ball handlers, and DJ played a wing, and
when Bradley went out with fouls, though, he handled the ball a lot more.
Mm-hmm. He was very efficient when he touched the ball, put it that way, either scoring or driving and dishing. So, and played terrific D. One thing I noticed right away at the defensive end, when the ball went up, he went to block someone out first all the time, which you rarely see.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that a lot. And we were just talking. And
he also went up and blocked a 6'5 guy's shot at the rim and literally swatted it away at the rim. This was a guy who was a McDonald's All-American and just went up and blocked it. And he picked the guy's pocket. He's great defensive player, sees the court well. You're going to love this guy, Lindsay. You really are. He's just got a complete game, doesn't force anything, took 8 shots yesterday, and really, if he was the focus of their offense, this guy would score 25 points a game.
Wow, and I guess there was this thing with Brandon Paul is, you know, people have said the D-Wade thing. How about Darrell Summers? Wouldn't that be an acceptable comparison too?
Sure. How about that dunk Summers had?
Absolutely.
Oh my God, that was like Jordan-esque. I mean, you can't get much better than that.
And he dunked on Robinson. And Robinson's about 6'7", and I think he's about 36 years old too.
I think he's going straight to the Globetrotters. The guy with the 50-inch vertical leap who fascinates people.
What does Calhoun do? Like store these guys at academies? They end up coming to college as freshmen at 21 years of age, and you know if they stay for 4 years, they've got more facial hair than 40-year-olds.
Actually, that's not that far off. Actually, that's kind of what Memphis did. I remember looking through their media guide, and they'd have guys who are 21-year-old true sophomores because they've been to a couple prep academies for about as long as they possibly could.
Well, now Kentucky will have them.
Yeah, well, geez. What do people think Kentucky's paying for $4 million a year for a guy to come in and not work the system and
a lot of that money's for travel and expenses.
Yes.
It'll be very interesting to see what transpires. But your question: have you seen Brandon play in person much?
I've seen handfuls of games on TV. Yes.
Okay, so I mean the Wade thing is a little stretching it, obviously. Yeah. But you know, you've even heard Bruce talk about the potential and upside he has. We got a caller on the line, Lindsay. He's going to ask us some questions. You could ask him some questions. Speaking of our recruits, we're going to welcome in our good friend from suburban St. Louis, Tyler Griffey's father, Chris Griffey. Chris, thanks for calling today.
You're welcome.
We have one of our friends, Lindsay Wilhite, the Illini beat writer from the Daily Herald up here in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, on the line as well.
Lindsay, you're much more than a beat writer. Tell them what you really are.
I'm just a small cog in the machine. That's all I am.
Okay, you know, Chris, we were just talking about, you know, Brandon, and I don't know if you got a chance to watch DJ on TV. You guys had an all-star game Saturday night in St. Louis, at which Brandon and Joseph Bertrand participated in, with Tyler. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun for the boys. I'm emailing you a couple pictures right now.
Excellent.
Great.
Yeah, I took, you know, the boys were able to get together, and at one point Tyler was guarding Brandon, or trying to anyway. they both had just these huge smiles on their faces. It was really neat to see.
And Tyler went off 30-some? Is that right? Tyler had 30-some points and hit some long threes and that kind of thing. Is that what I read about from that game?
Yeah, Tyler had 32, I think, and Brandon had like 37. So, yeah. They both had fun. They both had fun with it. Joseph won the dunk contest, so they all three got something out of it, I guess.
And do you see them as having complementary skills? I mean, I don't know if you watched DJ Richardson yesterday as well, Chris, but I thought Richardson played just so within himself and really just brought a lot to the game.
I did not get to see DJ. I didn't get a chance to. Got other little ones with practices and games and things. But the three that I've seen, yeah, I really like the way these things are shaping up. You know, I got to meet Brandon's parents and stuff. And, yeah, Brandon's a real player. He's got some skills, definitely. And he's a lot longer and taller than I thought, too. I mean, I had never seen him before.
You know, everyone knows that he can get to the rim, and he's very athletic. What I love is he's got NBA range with a picture-perfect form and release on his jump shot.
Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned Brandon was a little taller than you thought. You know, we've gotten to know Brandon and his folks over the year, and I was talking with them on Friday night at the local All-Star game that we had, and you met his folks for the first time. They're tall people like you are, Chris, and they said to me that they think that Brandon, it's a possibility he could grow another inch or two. You know, Cliff's a tall guy, and they have an older son, I guess, that grew once he got to college.
Yeah, they are very tall. And, yeah, Brandon's just a lot longer than I thought. I mean, he's just a lot longer. That's about the only way I can. It was surprising to me how long he really is. I mean, for a high school kid, I mean, he's a tall drink of water. He really is.
You know, Lindsay Bass said that they're tall people like you, Chris. It made it sound like we're Lilliputians or something over here.
Well, Lindsay's a tall guy, too.
I'm only in the 6'3" range, so I'm not like the grifter. He's got the wing forward, power forward body. I don't have.
So you guys have met down at the hall.
We talked down at the hall. I want to say sometime middle of last year when they visited after Tyler had committed, we did chat. One of the things we didn't talk too much about then, and I'm kind of curious about, is that Tyler kind of went a different route than so many kids do nowadays, and everyone seems to play a ton of AAU and do that sort of thing. What inspired Tyler to kind of go the other way and do his own workouts and do Adidas Nations and that kind of thing?
You know, I mean, I think, I guess I think I had a little bit to do with that, but I mean, I just learned right along very early in the process when this all started to happen that you have to do what's best for your son and, mm-hmm. and not, you know, some, you know, you in high school, in the team, that's a little bit different. You do things for the team, mm-hmm. you know. But in the summer, you're really kind of out for yourself. Even though you do play in a team, you have to do what's good for you. And I always stressed with him to work out and fundamentals. And yeah, you got to play. You do need a right mix in there. Coach Weber will tell you that. But I just felt that playing time and time and time again, and some of these weekend things, especially now that they're doing in the school year, Will wasn't that good for him. I mean, you know, he would work out all week, and then leave on a Friday morning and play two times Friday night after a 4, 5, 6, 7 hour drive, play 4 or 5 times Saturday, then a couple more times Sunday, and try to come home.
Insane.
And then he wanted to work out again. I'm like, that just doesn't make sense. If you're trying to get bigger and stronger, that's not the road to take.
And it's hard to do homework when you're that tired and stuff, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's other things that factor into that. Immediately from the very beginning, I always said, okay, they put out their summer schedule and I'd say, we're not doing this one. And I'd look and say, we're not doing this one. And I'd try to get as many as I could out during the school year. In the summer, it's a little different. Because, you know, they don't have other things going on, and they can go play, and they spread the tournaments out a little bit more. They're across more days, so they don't play 3 and 4 times in a day like they do at these ones now. That's just too much basketball. That's just not good for your body. When you're trying to get bigger and stronger, it's just not.
What is Tyler weigh right now?
Probably 225, 230.
And is there an ideal weight that either the coaching staff or you guys, you know, want to get him to by, you know, beginning of next season?
Well, you know, he's got some goals and stuff. He wants to get bigger, and he has. He's a lot stronger than he was going back. I mean, he's a lot stronger. And in the All-Star game, he took a hard hit. I mean, somebody you could hear to slap all the way up in the back row, and he still was able to get off the floor and dunk it. I mean, as a freshman, he would have been able to do that. There's no way.
I'm glad we're talking about this subject, because one thing I wanted to ask Chris, I guess Saturday you probably didn't have a chance to watch the two semifinal games with this game you had in St. Louis, but, you know, have you had a chance to watch some of these tournament games, especially with Tyler, and kind of when you do sit down and watch him, what do you guys talk about? What do you look at? Do you look at the pounding underneath or the outside shooting, defense? What kind of conversation goes on when you watch these games together?
I really, really, and I've said this before, and I just really stress the intensity that these guys play with. It's just, you know, there's not one person that, you know, can jog down the floor. They just don't do it at that level. And I really, really stress that to him. I mean, this All-Star game was just the opposite of that. I mean, everybody was kind of like, especially on defense and stuff. I just thought they were all kind of going half motored. I mean, but it was still fun for him and stuff. But, you know, it just impresses me time and time again, especially even when I go to the hall and see him in person, how just hard these guys go after it. And that's really what I stress to him. I mean, yeah, we look at the shooting. We watch that a little bit, and we watch the inside, the physical. I mean, Griffin just that boy gets the ball in the block, it's going in the hole.
Yeah.
There's just no stopping that man, whether he's doubled or whatever. It's going up.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the Bears draft him. That guy's unbelievable.
I tell you what a tight end he would make, couldn't he?
yeah. How tall is Tyler now?
We list him at 6'8", right at 6'8", with his tennis shoes on. He's right there.
Okay.
And what kind of vertical does he have?
Well, I don't think he's measured that in a while, but it was getting 34, 35 inches, I think, something like that.
Mercy.
Well, the one thing I'm going to beg you for is, no matter how good an outside shooter he is, at 6'8", 2 1/4", getting up to 230, 35, whatever it's going to ultimately be, you know, we need some rebounds from some guys. And, you know, you see DJ and Joseph and Brandon, and the following year we're going to have a few other wing slashers. So we're going to need our 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", guys to bang the board. And hopefully Tyler will be incorporating that into his game a little more, especially at the offensive end.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we know that. And I think I don't know. I don't want to say it's the easier part of it, because I know that's not the right word, but I think that's a part of the game that Tyler's ready for and will adapt to.
Great. That's great to hear.
Yeah, I really think it is. That's not my concern, to be honest with you.
Good.
The coaches will ultimately decide that for sure.
Yeah.
where
out where he defenses and where he plays, and offensively where they put him. I mean, we'll let them handle that. But to me, as I've seen him mature and grow, he took off, flying in there and grabbed a ball and dunked it, in the All-Star game. I mean, he can handle himself on the inside. He really can. I think defensively and offensively, he can. If they want to, it's one thing that I wish the high school team would have done more of. I wish they would have, in those grinder type games we got into and those close games, I wish they would have just kind of cleared out for him, put his butt on the block and said, here, get him the ball and then stop this kid.
When are you driving down to Champaign to drop him off for summer school?
June 12th. We got to come up once to register. I know that. We got to get all registered for classes, so we got to make one trip up for that. And then June 12th, I think summer school starts, so probably that weekend, the 9th and 10th.
Great. Chris, we want to thank you for hopping on with us today and the other few times during the year. Lindsay, hang on. We got a break for commercial here for a second. We got another guest calling in. Chris, again, we'll see you in Champaign real soon. We're looking forward to watch Tyler have a great career for the next 4 years.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. We're going to be back with Lindsay and Jared.
Yeah, actually,
Howard.
We've got a special guest on the line. We're going to save that break for a few minutes.
Okay.
We're going to welcome on Coach Jarence Howard. Coach Howard, how are you?
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show, Jarence. You got to feel like a proud papa these days. You got kids playing in All-Star games here and there, and you got four kids coming in who each bring different talents to the table. By the way, say hello to Lindsay Wilhite of the Daily Herald. Lindsay's on with us as well.
How you doing, Lindsay?
What's up, Jay?
But you got to feel like a proud father at this point.
Oh, I just went home and did lunch with my son and wife, and it's just a great feeling when you can come home to a good wife and a beautiful son. And he's getting big. He has two teeth, and he's starting to crawl, so I just got back from the Final Four, and every time I'm gone for over 2 days, he's doing something new.
And what about the four new kids that you're bringing in next year? Do you feel like a proud papa as it relates to them as well?
Most definitely, because anytime you develop a relationship with those kids, they're your father figures and big brother figures, and watching DJ yesterday was really spectacular, and knowing that Brandon Paul won Mr. Basketball, so, and Tyler Griffey finishing up with the year he had, and Joseph Bertrand having a good year and winning the dunk contest. So it's a good feeling, and we're excited, just like the Illini fans and the Illini Nation, about this upcoming season.
Hey, Jaren, so let's break a little news here. Before I came on here with Boz and Mr. G, I was just reading something about the internet, something about you getting some other sort of job offer. What's going on with that? Are you leaving Illinois?
Never.
Beautiful.
It was some interest. That's how the business is. I have a good relationship with some people down that way, and I can't leave Illinois. Illinois has been good and loyal to me and my family since day one. Coach Weber gave me a chance and gave me the opportunity to start my coaching career. And, I play here, and this is home. And it sounds cliche, and a lot of people say it, but I really do bleed orange and blue.
And, Jarence, I'm going to be your agent for a second here. But, Mr. Gunther, if you're listening, Coach Weber, if you're listening, loyalty has a price. You got to pay the man.
But, I've really been blessed, and Mr. Gunther and Coach Weber has done right by me since day one.
And just to confirm that this interest, this was from a place where you had been previously in your coaching career, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And was there more than one place that was talking to you, or was Big Blue the friend?
It was a couple people. The Final Four is a big network and social event through coaches, and my name was floating out there, but at the end of the day, people know my loyalty to Illinois. But it's been a whirlwind, and I'm just blessed to have the opportunity that somebody else wants me. But I'm not going anywhere. Like I said, I'm happy here, and our future I think we're going to be one of the best teams in the country with some of the kids we have coming in.
Jarrence, how does that work? Does the head coach of the place actually come up to you in the lobby or find you and say, hey, how'd you like to come over? Or if you're interested in coming over, you think you might be able to bring this guy? How does that all work?
Well, excuse me, I'm walking into the office if you hear the wind blow, but it depends on the coach. Sometimes it's through a third party. Sometimes the assistant coach, sometimes it's the AD, sometimes the head coach reaches out to your head coach, but it depends on the program and the coaching staff.
I would think that the proper protocol would be to ask an AD or a head coach permission to talk to another coach on the staff, and that permission would be granted as a matter of course, but perhaps there are some coaches out there who don't follow that protocol.
Well, like I said, it depends on the coaching staff, but usually if a head coach wants to talk to you, he gets in contact with the AD or your head coach.
Jarrence, I got to tell you something. You know, I think you've made such a difference in this program, and I really believe that the future of Illinois basketball heads right to your house, that someday you're going to be in a position where we're going to be talking to you as the head coach of this program. I know Lindsay and Boz feel the same way. All signs point to you being here for the long haul and for you to be an integral part of this program for decades to come.
And I really appreciate that compliment, and that's my dream. I think about it, you know, a lot, and that's what I'm working for. And to learn under, you know, Coach Weber and, you know, our staff, is not a better person that could prepare me for that. But, my long-term goal is to definitely one day hopefully be the head coach of the University of Illinois.
And, Lindsay, don't you feel that Jarrence has brought that level of energy to the program as well?
Oh, no, I think mostly Jay Price has brought that.
By the way,
Jarrence is along for the ride.
You guys, I appreciate it.
Wait, I mean, well, after tax season, Jay really gets into it, though.
Well, he's still jamming kids before he gets mad at me.
I'm blessed, and I tell people, you know, even at the Final Four, I mean, I was telling guys, I really believe that I have the best job in college basketball as an assistant coach. I mean, to be at home where you played at, my hometown is an hour, 40 minutes away from here. To be around people that's supporting me and helped me grow. I mean, there's not a better situation out there for me.
Plus, what would you do with all those orange shoes you acquired?
I just collect them. You know, I got a little shoe fetish, so I collect shoes and I just let them build up. Yeah, but
we didn't know this about you. This may be a little too much information for us, you know, regarding the shoe fetish.
I I've been collecting shoes ever since I was in seventh grade. So just I don't know what it is, but you know, I just always had a
Jarrence. Jarrence, would it shock you if we had two freshmen starting next year?
No, it wouldn't. I mean, you bring in, you want to recruit high-level guys, and, you want to put those guys, when you recruit guys, that's your philosophy. I mean, you don't recruit guys to wait for them to play their junior and senior year. My philosophy is you recruit the best players out there and to give you a chance to win, and right away. You know, some guys are projects, but you can't have a team full of projects.
And do you think Coach Weber shares that philosophy, that he's willing to play youth at the expense of maybe some W's early in the year in the hopes that we're going to build a team that's made for a long run into the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, and that's a good point you bring up. But, I mean, you look at the kids nowadays that's coming out of high school with the AAU circuit, and you look at a kid like DJ Richardson who has played a lot of basketball. He's played 40 games, almost 35 games this year, 33, 35 games, and traveled all over the world. So they're used to competing at a high level, competing against some of the best in the country and traveling. And so when they come in, they're familiar, with playing against competition and traveling. So, kids nowadays, the culture has definitely changed. So, they come in ahead of the rest, when I was coming out.
Jarrence, I believe it's a dead period. You can't go on the road to watch games until July. What the heck are you going to do between now and then?
Well, actually, that's certain. I mean, that's not true.
Okay.
Kind of real soon, isn't it? You can get out really soon, right?
Yeah, because I would be, it opens it up. We could go out on Thursday and Friday to high schools. So myself and the staff will be out around the state and in the country into high school gyms.
You can't go to the AAU weekends,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay, my mistake. I apologize. As long as we, Mr. G asked you about two freshmen possibly starting, we love to talk about who's coming back and what we're going to look for. And it leads to the question again. Tell us, cause you were with Alex, down at the last place and, there's a lot of expectations. Maybe it didn't quite work out this year, but, where's his head? Is he going to do what he has to do this summer to make a significant impact on the squad next year?
I'm glad you brought that up because the kid came into a difficult situation, had a good game at Purdue, and there was a lot of high expectations, but the kid's going to be all right. Listen to this. He literally spent the night here at Hubman Complex for these last 4 days and worked on his game. He's going to be fine. I mean, you're talking about a kid that's a pure shooter. He's bought into our defensive concept and what Coach Weber and the staff want from it. So he's going to be huge for us, and at the end of the day, he's going to be a good player for us. And it's not fair to throw him under the bus. He didn't really do anything. I mean, it's a process, and he really was a freshman last year. He's going to be really good for us and help us get to the next level we want to.
Hey, Jarence, was part of it simply that he had to come in at mid-year? If it would have been a little
exactly.
bit longer. If he had been able to go from November all the way through and gain a role.
You're talking about missing preseason games, non-conference games. And, I mean, to come in into one of the best conferences in the country and the way, people defend and prepare in our conferences, I mean, that's difficult. And we're playing so well. So it was hard, for us to find, time for him, late because, we were playing really well. So. He's going to be fine at the end of the day because the kid has a great attitude. He hasn't, all this experience that he's went through has really helped him, to work harder. And he's going to be good for us.
Speaking to the guys were just asking about the two freshmen playing and maybe forsaking some W's early to get some experience. Michigan State, they've played some freshmen. They took some lumps early, but they stuck with their rotations and played a bunch of guys. And now look where they are. Would that be maybe something similar you guys would think about?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when you look at, I was at the game against, the Michigan State game, and you look at the two freshmen, if they don't play, it may be, a closer game than it was. Lucius came off and had 11 points. Green came off and gave them great energy. So you got to live with it. Freshmen early going to make mistakes. And, you have to live with those mistakes and continue to work them and push them, and hopefully they can learn from it, and down the stretch they can be prepared for March.
Speaking of State, Jarence, a lot's been said about Coach Izzo's rebounding drill, putting football equipment on or whatever. Are we going to institute that next fall so we can be on top of the stats on the rebounding, especially offensive rebounding?
I don't know about the football pass, but we're definitely, that's one, in our end of the year meeting with Coach Weber, that's one of the number one concerns and things that we're going to have to work at is rebounding. And, it actually starts with our players. They have to have a mindset that we're going to go to the offensive glass and we're going to rebound. And Jimmy Price, who's our strength and conditioning coach, is doing a great job of, not only, working on those guys. They're coming in four times a week instead of three times a week. So, some of our kids have to, get a little physically stronger to be able to rebound.
Can either Tyler Griffey or Stan Simpson bring that kind of physicality to the game next year?
I think Tyler Griffey will one day, but Stan Simpson definitely will. He was one of our most aggressive and most physical low post presence in practice. So, he still has to get better, but I think, people will really be excited to see Stan play and see what he brings to the table because he's a big body, 6'9", wide, runs the floor well, blocks shots, and he's definitely a good rebounder. So I thought he was the biggest sleeper in the state of Illinois coming out of his senior year.
And then the other thing is that we've got multiple guys who can take you off the bounce next year. I expect to see this offense be completely different offense next year with guys really going to the hole hard.
Oh, and that was I really thought what really hurt us, and especially down the stretch. We fell in love with the jump shot, and you know we got guys now that can beat you off the bounce, and you know guys coming back. We're going to emphasize getting to the rack, and we got to get to the free throw line more, and just put pressure on the defense. You look at Dean, Darren, and Luther. You know they lived and died by the three. But they also got to the basketball rim too. So we got to get that balance back. And there's not a better group of guys that we feel confident to get that done.
Jarence, we're running up against the clock. We want to thank you immensely for hopping on with us. Lindsay, stay on for a second with us. We want to go over a couple things and not put Jarence on the spot. But Jay, one last question: the Cubs going to win a playoff game this year?
Yes, and hopefully I'll be there.
Okay.
By the way, Jarence, I'm offering you Boz's tickets for a game. You may have to sit with Boz, but you're going to a Cub game right behind home plate.
He knows it's there. I'm just waiting for the call, man.
I'm in the ballpark.
All right, Jarence, keep doing what you're doing, and let's try to help Sparty out tonight. Go Big Ten. Go Spartans.
Yeah. Hey, guys, keep up the good work. You guys are doing a great job, and we really – really, really want to say thank you on behalf of our program, and you guys created a nice buzz of and really do a good job, and the guests that you have on, it just gets better and better, and I'm just fortunate enough to be on it for the second time, and thank you.
Thanks,
okay, Jarence, thank you. Lindsay, when you break that scoop tomorrow, you'll mention us in the column?
Break it tomorrow. We'll put it on the internet as soon as you let me.
Oh, I'm glad you hopped on that because Mr. G walked in and he had seen it this morning and we called Jarence and he got on. So this was great.
This is like breaking news. This is like CNN breaking news.
We're like real media now. It's kind of scary, huh?
I don't want you to get all just settle for just being real media. That's no.
All right, when we come back from the break, we're gonna play our Spartan tribute for you again, and this time you're gonna have to listen to it, Lindsay. All right.
All right.
So hold on a few minutes.
You're gonna hang on then.
I'll hold on.
All right, because we're gonna have Brandon's dad supposed to be calling in too.
Okay.
All right, hold on, Lindsay. We'll be back. Call in at 888-463-6748 or email us at talkingalina@yahoo.com.
Don't put off the things you should do today. Start a financial plan with AXA Advisors. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. We'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including 4. Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at Rizzo Cars.
step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find a location nearest you.